This podcast is part of the Robots Radio Rocket Club, a program designed to help all podcasts reach their full potential. For information about joining the Robots Radio Rocket Club, check out robotsradio.net.
Welcome to the Wizarding World Lorecast. Join us as we take a deep dive into the lore of the fantastical world of the Harry Potter universe. Welcome back, witches and wizards, to another episode of the Wizarding World Lorecast. I am one of your hosts, Ben of Temeria. Always followed with me is my awesome friend and co-host, Nina.
Hey!
And today is a special episode because we have one of our great listeners coming all the way from Denmark, Bjorn. Right? Did I say that right? Or did I say that wrong?
Not at all.
Not at all. Okay, good.
It's Bjarne.
Bjarne. Okay.
Bjarne.
Yeah. Bjarne. Bjarne. Nobody gets it right. So, yeah.
My bad. Names are not my suit at all whatsoever.
Oh, I've noticed.
Listen to any of my shows. I don't do well with names. I'm hoping to get better due to my voiceover training. So, y'all bear with me for the next 6 months.
Well, I just watched the Prisoner of Azkaban today for you guys, and the Bo Baddons, which is Bo Baton, he's just sabotaging people.
Yeah,
I would have to say Americans don't do very well with pronouncing foreign names.
We try and we absolutely fail completely. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, when I work in retail, so I get a lot of like foreigners coming in to work because I work in a fabric store. So a lot of foreigners come in getting fabric, and I just ask them for their name because I don't want to. I try not to mispronounce it as possible because I don't want to feel like I don't want to do that.
That's fair. Yeah. Some people really get really heated over their names.
Yeah. But today we are joined and we are going over the Marauders map.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a topic. God, I don't want to butcher your name again. I'm so sorry.
Bjarne. Oh no, this is going to take forever. Just call me Bjorn.
Bjorn, okay. But Bjorn picked this topic. So we are diving into the Marauders map, which we actually have not done on the Lorecast yet, surprisingly.
Yeah, it is a little surprising.
So, Nina, I know you made the show notes. Do you want to dive into this?
Ooh, I would be honored to dive into this. I have a lot of information, so I might ramble, so just stop me. But okay. So, the Marauders map was a magical document that revealed all of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. Not only did it show every classroom, every hallway, and every corner of the castle, but it also showed every inch of the grounds, as well as the secret passages that were hidden within its walls, and the location of every person in the grounds, portrayed by a dot. It was also capable of accurately identifying each person, and was not fooled by animagi, polyjuice potions, or invisibility cloaks. Even the Hogwarts ghosts or peeves were not exempt, nor were animals such as the caretaker's cats. So, pretty much just gives you the entire layout of the school grounds and all of the little nitty-gritties, but there are a few exceptions into it. One of the map's possible flaws that it did not tell the difference between people who had matching names, such as junior or senior. Also, it did not seem to show unplottable rooms, as it was Dobby and not the map that revealed the existence and location of the Room of Requirement. Also, the Chamber of Secrets never appeared on the map either. So, any of the super secret rooms were not on there. But right. If it was also mapped and made by the Marauders, the four Marauders, then they would never have had access to those two locations either. So it's probably why it wasn't on the map.
And that's true. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously, the four Marauders, which we'll go into, mm-hmm. they never had access to the Chamber of Secrets because it was, well, it was never open during their time at school at mm-hmm. all.
No.
And also, the room requirement, we don't know if they even had access to that. Generally, like, by the time of when the Marauders created the map, no one was really using the room requirement until Neville stumbled upon it in Order of the Phoenix.
Plus, I think with it moving locations around the castle, too...
So the
I know you could access it through the one wall, but there was other areas you could access into it, couldn't you?
As far as I'm aware, the room requirement was only on the seventh floor.
That was it?
Mm-hmm. As far as I'm aware.
I thought there.
At least that's what a lot of the new lore shows, thanks to Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah, in the books, it's Dobby that finds the room. And yes. But Dumbledore mentions the room with the chamber pots in Goblet of Fire.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, because he had to use the restroom and he didn't know. He couldn't find a bathroom fast enough. I forgot about
that. So he found a room full of antique chamber pots. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, God. Gotta love Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Antique. Oh. All right. Well, with the creation of the map. Now, this was something that I was always curious about, how the map was actually made. The magic used in the map's creation is advanced and impressive and includes the homunculus charm, enabling the possessor of the map to track movements of every person in the castle. And it was also enchanted to forever repel, and insultingly as possible, the curiosity of their nemesis, Severus Snape. Now, homunculus... is a term used to refer to any representation of a human being. And mm-hmm. it was just a very complicated and advanced charm that it was quite impressive that they were able to put on there. Plus, there was other things that they added on other charms.
I imagine it was probably Lupin who did that. That's just my personal preference. Because he's preference. The bright or personal opinion, not preference, personal opinion. Because out of the four, he's probably the. I mean, Sirius and James were smart, but I would imagine Lupin was probably a lot mm-hmm. more studious in his academics.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of his thing. The others are like really quite. Good at magic, except for Peter Pettigrew. But they are quite talented, but yeah, not really hitting the books.
Right.
Yeah, not like Lupin. Yeah. So with the mention of Lupin, so the Marauders map was created by Remus Lupin, who is Mooney, Peter Pettigrew, which is Wormtail, Sirius Black III, which is Padfoot, and James Potter, which is Prongs. While they were attending Hogwarts. The creation of the map started by 1974 and was finished between 1975 and 1978 because the titles on the map refer to the nicknames of these men in their animagus forms, and in Lupin's case, werewolf form. The ability of Sirius, Peter, and James to become animagi enabled them to explore the castle grounds by night undetected. The interior of the castle, meanwhile, was mapped over time with the help of James' invisibility cloak. So... The Grand Four, or the Marauders, were the ones that created the map to get around, mainly, I think, to help with Lupin's werewolf form.
Oh, absolutely. Really. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They created specifically, imagine specifically created just to track Lupin, just mm-hmm. in case if he, you know, transformed in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Should be bad,
and God forbid if there's like more werewolves at Hogwarts because of him.
That would be really bad.
Yeah,
it would just add on to the prejudice that is against werewolves in the wizarding world.
Mm-hmm. Right,
right. The artifact proved quite useful to the foursome, commonly termed the Marauders, through the years until it was confiscated by Argus Filch. Although the precise circumstances surrounding the maker's loss of their map is mostly unknown, the masterpiece of a map was confiscated in Sirius, James, Remus, and Peter's final year, and none of them were able to steal it back from a well-prepared and suspicious Filch. And it is also kind of believed that Snape may have had a hand into helping Filch get his hands on it, just because, well, there was some bad blood between
all of them.
Yeah,
absolutely. The only one I would say that probably didn't have bad blood was probably Pettigrew.
Because
he just followed James and Sirius. Oh yeah, he absolutely around.
Was a follower. Oh yeah, definitely was a follower. Great guy.
Not really.
No, no, absolutely not. No, not great guy by any means. The usage of the maps. The map is normally disguised as a blank piece of parchment. To view the map, one would tap it with one's wand and recite. I'm going to let you guys say it.
Oh.
I solemnly swear I'm up to that.
Very good. Yeah. And the contents of the map would then reveal itself. So to hide the contents of the map, the parchment appeared blank again. One would tap it and recite.
Mischief managed.
Very good. Yep, yep. An added bonus was that there was a barrier to the map approached the entrance to a secret passage protected by a password. The password would appear on the map, usually in a speech bubble that appeared closest to the dot representing the map's holder. So it also kind of helped them get through the one-eyed witch to connect over to
Honeydukes.
Honeydukes, yes. And not really much is going to stand in their way to get around the castle.
Absolutely not.
No. More importantly, the map showed the name and location of every person within Hogwarts, even if they were wearing the invisibility cloak. As demonstrated when Remus Lupin saw Harry Potter, Ron Weasley, and Hermione Granger sneaking into Hagrid's cabin under the invisibility cloak. It also shows transport animagi, evidenced by Lupin seeing Peter Pettigrew return to the school grounds from Hagrid's, despite being disguised as the rat Scabbers at the time. Or under the influence of the Polyjuice Potion, as demonstrated when Harry saw Barty Crouch Jr., at the time disguised as Alistair Moody, ransacking Snape's office for more Polyjuice Potion. So you can't really fool this map. Like, this homunculus charm is some serious business.
Absolutely.
I always thought that the reason why it showed Barty Crouch Jr. was because he was not transformed at that time. But, yeah.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter if the Polyjuice Potion. So even with, like, Harry and Ron running around as Crabbe and Goyle, it would have just shown Harry and Ron if you would have looked at the map at the time.
Good thing no one had the map at the time.
This is a good thing nobody.
Because then they would say Harry and Ron being in the Slytherin common room while Crabbe and Goyle are knocked in a broom closet.
Yeah, in a broom closet. Yeah.
Like, what are they doing in there?
Could you imagine though if Malfoy had his hands on that though? Oof.
Oh my gosh, things would go complete sideways.
Very sideways. Would not end well at all. Ownership of the map. Now, after the Marauders had it. At some point by 1988, the map was stolen from Filch's office, and the thief left a mess in the office. In the 1987-1998 school year, Patricia Radpick looked for the map in Filch's office, but noticed that it was no longer there. She asked Rosmeta if Jacob had left the map in the Three Broomsticks Inn, and Rosmeta responded that she did not know what Radpick was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And this is during the
Hogwarts Mystery. So this is going on during the Hogwarts Mystery mobile game that you can play. It's the game where you create your own witch or wizard. You start Hogwarts 7 years prior to Harry. So your seventh year is his first year. Or like once you graduated, he's coming into school.
Okay. In the 1988 and 1989 school year, when coming up with a plan to locate the fourth curse vault, so this is kind of spoilery for the game, Rula Snide told Jacob's sibling to get the Marauder's map. In order to find out where the map was, Jacob's sibling gave Filch a cake, which put him in a good mood to reveal the map and had been stolen from his office, and he suspected the thief to be Peeves. With this information, Jacob's sibling and Kate or Jay Kim went to talk to Peeves, and Peeves refused to reveal the location of the map, as a friend of his who hated Jacob and potions had told him not to help Jacob's siblings. Peeves was bribed and Filch was bribed. There's a lot of bribery happening this year.
Oh, absolutely.
Although I do like that you can get on Filch's good side with a cake. I mean, same, but so I think it's funny that cake is what works.
I just despise Peeves. I'm sorry. I hate Peeves.
Yeah. A little nuisance. The map at some point by the late 1988 ended up in the possession of Mundungus Fletcher. Catching your tongue tie. The map was later stolen from him, and he did not know who the attacker was. And I can't imagine Fletcher having that map at all. Does it sound like good?
No, God no. Fletcher is Mundungus is a rat.
Jacob's sibling and Jay Kim found the Marauder's map in the icy corridor, along with Scabbers. Jacob's sibling did not think much of the parchment, but took it to Patricia Rackpick. Jacob's sibling and Rackpick later discussed the map on the training grounds. Rackpick told Jacob's sibling the words to unlock it, as well as the words to hide its secret. Jacob's sibling planned to use the map and talked about what they saw on the map. They mentioned a person moving so quickly that they couldn't read the person's name. After this mention, Rackpick took the map, saying that the person is the one who attacked Mundungus Fletcher, and that keeping their name a secret is to protect Jacob's siblings. And then the map was returned to Filch's office at some point later that school year or in the following year. So it got back to his office. But yeah, so that's a little spoilery when it comes to that game, but
absolutely.
As we talked about, it takes a long time to get to that point in the game.
Right. Yeah. Oh, God. Because that is going to be towards your sixth year, I believe, in the game, which takes a very long time because it's a time-based energy game. So you use energy to complete tasks. To get more energy, you either have to buy it with real money or you wait over a period of time. Now, if you're any normal person with a day job and you're doing a task and you're at your day job while this task is trying to be completed, 9 times out of 10, you will fail the task. I have failed multiple tasks trying to play this game with work.
I never got past like fourth year, I think, because, it's got too weighty.
Yeah, it gets too weighty and each year gets longer and longer it expands, like more and more story it puts into each year, and it just makes it so much feel long. It's such a long game. I congratulate people who have gotten past through all that, because my God, it will take you years. If you don't use real money, it will take you years to get through that mobile game.
A lot of dedication.
Yeah, and some of the events are if you don't time it correctly, you maybe have 15 minutes to spare in a 48-hour window.
Pretty much, yeah. Oh, yeah. They do. Each year has like a set of events, and those events are only good for like 3 days. But then you can't, like, you have to focus only on those events and not do the actual story, and they add more events every year, and it's just, it gets longer and longer and longer, and they just want you to pay up money.
But that
is a mobile game. That's what mobile games do. That's how they get funding for the game, is people buying the energy pack. So it is what it is. But it also goes to Portkey Games, which also is part of Wizarding World, so Wizarding World gets the money to develop better games, such how we got Hogwarts Legacy. So, I mean, I guess that's all good.
Yeah, not mad about that at all.
Absolutely not.
I'm on the Hogwarts Legacy, I'm on my fourth playthrough. Finally a Slytherin.
Ooh. Yeah. Finally Slytherin.
I can't remember. Are you Slytherin, Nina?
Mm-mm.
No, you're Ravenclaw.
I am Ravenclaw.
Ravenclaw, okay.
Yes.
Couldn't remember.
We forgot. Our other guest that was...
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. Courier was Ravenclaw.
Courier was, yeah. I said guest, not host. Bat Daddy Knight was Slytherin.
Oh, yes. Yes. Bat Knight, yes. Bat Knight mm-hmm. is Slytherin. Slytherin. Gosh. Oh, gosh.
He's got a lot of pride for his house, as he should.
Yes. Yes, he does. Mm-hmm. Yes. Boomhauser says he's made it to year 3. I congratulate you. After year 3, it gets longer and longer. I'm in year 5, and I'm like, I've been in year 5 for like 3 years. Because I just don't want to play anymore because it's so much wait time. And I always freak out when I get a notification saying, you have so and so minutes to complete this task. And I was like, I'm at work.
I'm doing other things.
I'm doing things to get money. At this point, I say we could take a quick mid break and be right back. All right, welcome to the middle of the show where we talk about everything with the podcast. This has nothing to do with the lore of the Wizarding World. Here, we want to thank all of our listeners. And if you want to become patrons, you can go to patreon.com/WizardingWorldLoreCast, where you can get ad-free episodes or even join us once a month on the show, topic of your choosing. You can also support us on Apple and Spotify. Leave a 5-star review on Apple. We'll read those out loud on the next time on the show, as well as a nice Spotify comment, which we do have one this week, back on our Dementor episode, saying from Odin's Bloden, saying, love it.
Yay!
We
I love your name,
that.
Actually.
And then you can also find us on a few different Discord servers, the Robots Radio Discord at robotsradio.net, as well as my own Discord server, the Ben and Friends Podcasting Discord. Both links are provided in the episode description below. Join those. It's a lot of fun. You can find my other shows as well, the Holocron History, Star Wars Canon vs. Legends, the Final Fantasy Lorecast, and the Witcher Lorecast. So, yeah, all bunch of fun. Nina, do you have anything to add for the mid break?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
All right. Well, let's get back into more of the Marauders map.
All right.
All right. We are back. So... now we have more of the Marauders map to go over. So where do we leave off, Nina?
So we're going to continue with the next owners of the map, which are Fred and George Weasley. Now, they stole the map in their first year at Hogwarts from Filch's office. They had been taken to his office for letting off a dung bomb and saw the drawer marked confiscated and highly dangerous. George dropped another dung bomb while Fred stole the map from the drawer. They had to experiment with it in order to learn how to get it to work, but it gave them clues, flickering into life here and there when they came close to activating phrase until finally they got it exactly. Because of this map, the twins memorized the secret passageways of Hogwarts, which they used for quite a few of their many pranks.
This is something bad on Filch's part. Why would you label a drawer saying confiscated and highly dangerous for people to read?
Yeah, I'm impressed that they could see it because, like, it would be on his side of the desk, wouldn't it? So they were up and roaming around, essentially.
I'm thinking it's like file drawers behind the desk because he's confiscated so much during the years.
True. That's fair.
Yeah, that you would need a bigger area to store it.
Well, if you go and play Hogwarts Mystery and you go in Filch's office throughout the story, you will see filing cabinets in his office.
Mm.
Essentially, yeah. With stuff that you will, like, don't need. Or stuff he's confiscated completely from over the years of being caretaker.
Confiscated and highly dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has, like, the list of, I don't remember how many Dumbledore says at some point, but it's, like, a really long list of illegal items. Everything from Weasley's Wizard Wheezes, for example.
I think Dumbledore says, like, a list of, like, 700-some items or something stupid.
Yeah.
It's like, we have to have all these on this list. You need to know all of them. Okay.
He keeps really good inventory.
True.
Give him that. Yeah.
He can sweep rubble.
Okay. Okay. Moving on. Anyway. So in Harry Potter's third year at Hogwarts, Fred and George gave him the map. It was a mark of their high esteem for Harry, and they believed that he stood in need of assistance with a destiny none of them yet fully understood, that they later gifted the map to him, unwittingly passing it on to the child of one of its creators. Harry used the map through its time as a student at Hogwarts, especially during his third year, where he tried to find his way into Hogsmeade. Then he used the One-Eyed Witch's passage, which led him to Honeydew's cellar, and Professor Remus Lupin caught Harry with the map after Snape had found it while interrogating him and subsequently confiscated it, surprising the younger wizard with his knowledge of how to activate it. So with it now in Professor Lupin's hands, he was able to discover Peter Pettigrew was still alive, leading him to conclude that it was indeed the latter that had betrayed Harry's parents in the process framing their old friend Sirius Black for the crime. And this would go a long way towards repairing the rift between the two co-creators of the map. And he would return the map to Harry before leaving Hogwarts at the end of the year, seeing no regret in doing so since he's no longer a teacher, that he could has no further use for the map himself.
So. Yeah, and I would say it's also Lupin handing it down to the next generation, because since Harry is the son of James, it's also like a nice memento of his father's to Harry.
Oh, absolutely. With that and the invisibility cloak, oh yeah.
Lupin is essentially like the Harry's uncle, while, you know, Sirius also being like the godfather. Lupin took care of Harry as much as a parent would.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah, very much.
Mm-hmm. Which, okay, so I know I questioned you, it was like last week, about how Harry didn't see Peter Pettigrew with Scabbers with Ron. And you're like, well, the Scabbers had run off that year. What about his brothers?
Yeah.
So, because I thought about it after we talked about it, I'm like, there's something there. And I couldn't quite place my finger on it. But what about his brothers? Like, they saw Scabbers, Peter Pettigrew hanging out with Ron in his pocket.
Were their names being raked together in the Marauders map would kind of like scream suspicions of who's this person next to Ron all the time?
All the time. Yep.
Like, why is he laying
when he's in bed?
Right. Yeah. Like, why he's in the common room and everything. It's like, who is this guy?
Yeah, I got questions about that, but I feel like maybe they were trying to use it to their advantage eventually too. I can see Fred and George like pocketing that information away and trying to use it as a prank later on.
Yeah, but I could see that too.
Yeah. But anyway, that was the whole thing with the map that I had. But in the fourth year with Harry, he used a map to help him as he sneaked into the prefix bathroom to work on his clue for the second task of the Tri-Wizard Tournament. On his way back, he dropped the map and was almost taken by Severus Snape. Harry was saved by Barty Crouch Jr. disguised as Mad-Eye Moody, who pretended it was his. Due to the map's flaw, it could not differentiate between Junior and Senior Crouches. Crouch later asked to borrow the map from a reluctant Harry. After Crouch was unmasked, he noticed that the map nearly ruined his master plan, but managed to turn it in an advantage by keeping track of his father's arrival. Harry later retrieved the map from an empty office used by Barty Crouch Jr. So he did get it back. So that was another one
Yeah, if Harry didn't drop it, things might have played out a little bit different.
Yeah.
Crouch Sr. might not be dead. Maybe.
Might.
Maybe. Might. Maybe. Might's a strong
maybe.
Word.
Mm-hmm.
He probably still would be because Crouch Jr. is a sick son of a gun, but...
Yeah, you got a good point there.
Yeah, I've noticed when watching the movie, Prisoner of Azkaban, that whenever he starts to drink his Polyjuice potion, he always does the tongue flicker.
Yeah.
So that's when he's about to transform back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a nice touch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. His little tick is coming back, so he drinks from it. He always has that disgusted look on his face too, which I just really enjoyed. Knowing he's got to drink that thing all the time. So in Harry's fifth year, he started teaching Defense Against the Dark Arts to a variety of students, some students even older than him. And this organization was illegal as it went directly against Dolores Umbridge's rules, and if caught, punished was unavoidable. As such, Harry would often use the map during DA meetings as a means of keeping track of the Inquisitorial Squad and Filch. Nigel Wolpert, who liked to stay next to Harry during meetings, also assisted him by acting as a lookout as the students left the room of requirements at the end of the meeting using the map. Nigel was very committed to this task, and the map played an instrumental role in keeping the members of the DA from getting caught by Umbridge, Filch, and her squad of Slytherin students. I really think the map came into huge play in the fifth year with him.
Oh, yeah.
Teaching the students and keeping an eye on all of the people out to get them and your favorite person.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, who doesn't love that witch?
Oh, she's one, definitely. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I think she's one of the reasons term. I don't like pink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. When I see people fully decked out in pink, that's the image that pops in my mind, and I just want to, like, beat someone senseless. It's like, no.
That's called a trauma response, Ben.
It's called PTSD.
PTSD trigger response. Yeah.
Dude, I hate that. I hate her character so much.
I can't wait
the
for
actress. Whenever... I love the actress because she played the part perfectly, but my God, yeah. I hate that character.
Whenever I'm doing quizzes and the answer is Dolores Umbridge, I always put on a special song. Let's not just call it Move, Witch, Get Out the Way.
Oh, that's great. Oh my God, that's fantastic.
That's a great touch. I like that. All right. So during Harry's sixth year, he used the map often when he was spent a great deal of time obsessing over Draco Malfoy's daily activities. When monitoring Draco Malfoy, Harry found he often disappeared off the map. The cause of this was not revealed until after he asked Dobby to trail Draco to find out what he was doing when he disappeared. Dobby discovered that Draco was disappearing into the Room of Requirement, which was not on the Marauder's map, whether because it was unplottable or the Marauders never found the room, it is unspecified. So it'd be either way.
Right.
Yeah. And then while on the run, looking for the Horcruxes in the last book, Harry would often look at the map to see Ginny Weasley, his love interest, was doing, which would hint that the map worked from any location. And moments before the start of the Battle of Hogwarts, Harry briefly used a map to search for Ron and Hermione, but he did not find them as they were at the time in the Chamber of Secrets collecting Basilisk Fangs, with which they could destroy the last of Voldemort's Horcruxes. So that's how we found out that both of those rooms were not on the Marauder's map.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. So a little bit of a bittersweet.
It's a good thing that the map can be used literally anywhere without being on the grounds of Hogwarts, though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could just consider it working like any map ever. Like, look at a map anywhere you're at in any
right.
location.
True. Mm-hmm.
Very true. It is eventually believed that James Sirius Potter probably stole the map from his father's desk, since he did have it all the way up to the end of the books. And then during the Calamity, which happened through the Wizarding World during the 2010s, a mysterious foundable of the Marauder's map appeared in the world, trapped in a magical storm confoundable. Volunteer wizards and witches who worked for the Statute of Secrecy Task Force had to free the map foundable using the counter charm Medilo Jinx Recanto to stop the storm and return the map to its original place.
That was a good pronunciation right there. But and if no one knows the Calamity, the Calamity comes from the game Harry Potter Wizards Unite, which was the AR game that was very short-lived. It only lived for like a little over a year because it was trying to combat with Pokemon Go, which you don't do.
No.
I'm sorry. AR games, try not to compete with Pokemon Go. You will lose. Unless it's another game by Niantic. Don't try.
Yeah. How well did the Witcher one do? I did play that one for a while.
It only ran for a year.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, which sucks because I loved it. I played a lot of it. I even made a New Zealand account to play the beta. And then transfer that stuff to the main game when it released from my normal account.
I'm a little disappointed.
And it only lasted a year. And they added new lore, too. You actually befriend like a young Vesemir from the game universe, which is really cool. It was very short-lived, sadly. It did not do well. So CDPR canceled it and they moved on. We have other Witcher projects to work on. We'll work on those.
Yeah, that game definitely got me out of the house and moving around town. I remember leaving work and like hanging out by a shop for like 2 hours trying to fight a griffin.
Right.
Determined to kill this griffin. But then like it was really nice because my house was on top of a nest. So I didn't really have to go very far.
That must be nice. I live out in the boonies, so that doesn't happen.
No. But I'm a little disappointed that they don't, and it's gone now.
Yeah, fully off the App Store. You cannot play it at all anymore, and it's sad. I liked it. I liked Monster Slayer.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. Okay.
But I will forever have the titles in the Gwent game. Because if you had the Gwent, if you have Gwent and had Monster Slayer, you can connect the two accounts, and you get special titles and card backs in Gwent. So I will forever have those.
That's nice. That's nice, at least. All right. Well, last but not least, we do have the behind the scenes. The magical defenses on Hogwarts have been mentioned several times, including Hogwarts being unplottable. That implies that mapping Hogwarts is impossible, which is exactly what the Marauder's map does. There are some possible loopholes for this. For example, making a place unplottable might simply make it impossible for it to be mapped with reference to somewhere else. As the Marauder's map only covers Hogwarts, not in the position relative to, for example, London, it would circumvent the theoretical unplottable charm. Since it's just kind of showing the grounds and the castle itself and not where it's located in the world, it can get away with being mapped. In the book, the map is described as a single piece of parchment that could be laid out on a desk in a classroom. In the film, the map is shown as a rather large, much folded paper with several unfolding flaps within it.
Yep. Yep. I have one too. I don't have it next to me anymore, but yeah, it's freaking massive.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of it being pages worth, because it is like you have different levels and everything, and just having it on one large parchment is kind of hard to see the different
levels. With like the movie reference, I see the movie reference being more realistic. Where the book being more magical, it could probably change depending on what you're wanting to do with the wave of your wand. But movie one is probably a lot more realistic due to Hogwarts being more than seven floors.
Yeah. Definitely.
And then on top of that, it's a massive castle and grounds.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, having a multiple makes more sense, truthfully. But anyway. Also, in the book, the characters are shown on the map represented by dots. But in the film, the characters are represented by their footprints. Which, I don't know, I like the idea of the footprints better, too. Because you can kind of see the direction that they're going. Like, yes. I love that, like, the end credits that they did, too, with the Marauders map with the footprints.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was so nice. Very pretty. Like, the
aesthetic. Yeah, in one corner of the map, during the end credits, you can see two people standing with their feet towards each other's in a like, corner. Yeah.
I'm really glad you said it because I was going to bring it up later.
Yep, you can totally see. It's like, well, we know what's happening there.
No, they're having a very close discussion, all right, about their potions final.
Yes, of course. Yes, potions.
Of course.
Yeah.
Specifically about it's love not, potions.
About love pay. all right. In the film adaptation of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, when Harry was walking down one of the corridors at night and he saw Peter Pettigrew's name appear on the map before being caught by Snape, which was first a hint of Peter being alive still. And this did not occur in the book. It was strictly something in the movies that was not happening in the book at all.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And this is a nice little just piece of trivia. The order of the names on the map, Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs, was actually in the reverse order of when the Marauders died. Prongs being the first to die on the 31st of October in 1981, and Mooney being the last on May 2nd in 1998. So, it's kind of, again, just a little bit more foreshadowing.
Oh, yes. And yeah. Boomhauser, no, it was not Ron with Lavender because the ending credits we're talking about is from Prisoner of Azkaban. That didn't happen until Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah.
So. Oh, foreshadow, LOL. I mean, sure. Sure, it
map
could
can tell
be.
The future. All right, but yeah, that's really all I got on the Marauders map. Do you guys have anything you want to add that I might have missed?
No, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, the Marauders map is an awesome item. You can buy it through Universal or get it yourself at the Wizarding World. I have mine. Bjorn has one. Go get it yourself. It's really cool.
Absolutely.
It was a present from my sister, actually.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. A birthday present. Yes.
That's
those are
awesome.
Always the best. Cool birthday presents. All right.
Yeah,
well,
I have back here, I have Hedwig and I have Fox. That's, and the Lupin's Patronus, which is also nice. Gifts from my sister in Lego.
Nice.
I do love the Phoenix. I would think I need that.
You get the Phoenix. You definitely do.
You definitely do.
I got room. I can put
oh, on. Yeah, you totally have room. I don't have room anymore. I'm spaced out right now.
Yeah. All right.
This
well,
is just in my I live with roommates, and this is actually just in my flat in the common room. Yeah.
In the common room.
Yeah.
I like that.
But yeah, no, I don't have anything else to add.
No. What about you, Yarnay? Do you have anything you'd like to add about the Marauders map?
Well, I have something about the Marauders, but not specifically the map. It's
is it one of your questions?
No, it's not a question, actually. It's the fact that you have these, the Marauders mirror some of the characters in the Harry Potter's generation.
Oh, yeah, yes. You were mentioning that. Tell us about that some more.
Of the four, the four Marauders, James, Remus, Sirius, and Peter, mirror the characters in the movie generation or book generation. Harry, of course, mirrors James. Hermione, Remus. Ron mirrors Sirius, and Neville and Peter are mirrors. But the idea is that the new generation does not replicate the flaws of the older generation. So Harry does not become arrogant by coming from a pure blood line with a lot of money. He doesn't know he does that, so he's not doesn't get the arrogance. Hermione constantly stops them from doing stuff that are very dangerous or really stupid. Where Remus doesn't have that ability to do that. Ron is not, well, except for his totally oblivious relationship to Hermione, he's not cruel the same way as Sirius was. And yeah. Neville is never just a follower. He's like a true friend instead of being a follower who seeks protection by connecting with like more powerful people, which is what Peter Pettigrew really does. He's a classic follower of
just trying to really find a place where he can be safe.
And now you say that, like, I have seen that, I know it's like a kind of a fan theory, but it's also like pretty much fact that we see in the novels. I've seen this years ago and completely forgot about it till now. But yeah, it's literally those four characters mirror them, but they don't go with their flaws, which is amazing. Like, Harry is very humble to him, with himself and with others. Like, unlike his father, who was not
a little arrogant,
which we get more in the books than we do in the film. The film doesn't do it justice with how they describe James at all. James was a complete jerk, and we get that in the books, and that's like a small word to describe him. He did not do good things.
He's a little bit of a bully, if you consider it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Definitely. Yeah. If he didn't, bully Severus probably, he would probably not like James so, but he probably wouldn't hate him with his burning passion.
Yeah.
Well, James did hook up with Lily and Snape was kind of obsessed.
Right. And Snape would still be mad at James, and he still wouldn't like him hooking up with Lily, but he probably wouldn't have as much hatred for him and for his son if James didn't do the things he did to Snape. If he just left Snape alone, things probably would be fine.
And that's where there's other mirrors. Luna Lovegood and Snape are mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
Bullied and different, but she's never never tempted by the dark side. Bless you.
Thank you. But yeah, Luna and Snape are, and Luna takes her weirdness as a good thing. She doesn't reject it.
Yeah.
Like Snape, Snape completely rejected that part of himself.
It's a little sad because being weird really, I don't know, just makes you more interesting, makes you more unique.
Right.
You shouldn't be ashamed of who you are just because you're not like the people around you.
Exactly. Like, I do podcasts. Come on, people. I'm weird. Get with it. Like, heck, I'm learning to be a voice actor. I'm going to be doing weird things. Like, I'm on my third lesson. I read a line in a British, totally, really bad British accent. I tried. I can't do a British accent to save
my life.
Well,
now I got to hear this later.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know if I can replicate it.
The normal Danish accent is not the one I'm using right now. in the Danish accent, you would speak like more like this. We have a very funny way of speaking Danish or English, but it's I've learned to not use that because it makes you sound kind of stupid.
So, all right, and I don't mean this in any way of being offensive, but have you seen Frozen and the summer sale blowout guy? That's all I could think of.
He's more
Norwegian. And I appreciate it. I really enjoy that guy and the way he talks. I think it's a very fun way to talk and it has a lot of energy behind it, but that's all I got out of what you were saying. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, it's accents are fun. I can't act my standard American accent is kind of southern and kind of offensive, I think, so I'm not gonna do it.
Oh no, please do it. I need to hear it now. You're not gonna do anything worse than us not pronouncing names right from foreign names.
That's a fair point. And I wouldn't say it would be even offensive. Like, that's just how Southerners talk here in the U.S. That's literally how they talk. I mean, I have multiple family members who are from the South, and they have that twang in their voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Heck, my mom has that twang. I have that twang when I talk sometimes.
Twang. You have it when you say the word twang.
Twang. Yeah, twang. But yeah, this was a lot of fun. Thank you for joining us.
Yes,
I know it's
really
like
happy.
Super early for you.
Yeah, we're coming up on 3 a.m. here because we haven't switched to daylight savings yet. You guys are a month ahead of us on daylight savings.
Oh, you guys do daylight savings still?
Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one, because I was like, am I just, I don't know, a little bit ignorant on how, I thought it was literally just the United States that did it.
No, we still have it here. I think they're trying to get rid of it, but they're not really good at doing that.
No, because they've been trying to,
it doesn't make sense anymore. It's like,
they've been trying to do that in the U.S. for
to work
years.
More.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's... The European Parliament actually, some years ago, decided to stop using daylight savings, and nothing happened.
Can't imagine anything did, honestly. No. It would be nice if they would just, I don't know, get rid of it.
Oh, absolutely. I would love that. But
yeah, it's like I get up super early, and we have Easter off, and Tuesday I'm going into work again, and I'm getting up at what is 4 a.m. now to go to work.
Oh, wow.
Dedication that I don't have.
Oh, it's not dedication. It's late-stage capitalism.
Well,
I leave work to make money to buy food.
That's dedication fair. To the food. I can get behind that.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, definitely the food.
Definitely the food.
That's fair. But yes, thank you so much for joining us. It was a lot of fun having you on here.
We still have our Quizzing
World.
Oh,
yes, our Quizzing World.
Actually,
thank you.
The creator here, we're not going to just ignore it this time.
No, we're not.
No.
But, all right. Let me do last week's while you get your question ready. Last week I asked, during the seventh film of Hogwarts Express is stopped and searched by Snatchers and Death Eaters, but what student confronts them and calls them losers?
Neville.
Yeah.
My
badass Neville Longbottom.
Yes! Absolutely. But yeah, that was the answer from last week. So what do you have for us this time, Yarné?
I've looked in my chest full of a lot of quizzes, and as a official grand quizzer, I found one I call a quiz called Harry Potter and the Quizzet of Azkaban.
Ooh!
So that, but in this one, I have a question for you guys. The question is, what page does Snape tell the class to turn to when he substitutes for Lupin in Defense Against the Dark Arts? So, what page does Snape tell the class to turn to when he substitutes for Lupin in Defense Against the Dark Arts?
I see you thinking really hard over there, and I think I know the answer. I'm gonna have to message it to you.
I'm pretty sure I know the answer as well. I think Boomhauser might.
Oh, I definitely know the answer.
Yes,
pretty sure Boomhauser in the chat is right on Twitch, but we'll let everybody know next week.
Absolutely.
Oh, and if I could, I could like to plug that. I'm running the questions are coming up every Wednesday on my own page, Acquisiting World Experience. I'm putting up the questions and the answers on the same day. That's what works best. But of course, listening to the podcast makes you get both the answers and the questions for faster.
Yep.
True. But his page is also a lot of fun. He's got the artwork that you put up with your questions and everything are very pretty. And they really tie the whole question together.
Yeah. I also have another Facebook page and Instagram for my own writings. I'm writing a fantasy world originally inspired by Harry Potter. It's called the Yggdrasil Sagas. Yggdrasil is as in the Tree of Life in Nordic mythology.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have links or anything for it? We could put it in the show notes of this episode.
I'll send you links, yeah.
Awesome. Perfect. Yeah, we'll put that in there. Yeah. I mean, we've been raving. Okay, I've been raving about a fan fiction, so yes. We might as well. A few more.
Oh, I haven't gotten along to the. I haven't gotten to listening to that yet, but it's definitely on the list.
That's okay. It's at a stop right now. They, I'm not 100% sure if the writer is taking a break, but they were releasing episodes like twice a month, and they haven't released anything in the last month and a half. And I'm getting antsy, and all the people I've told who have listened to it are getting antsy. So I need answers.
It's very good. We need to know what's happening.
Yes, but that one is When the Roses Bloom Again, just as a reminder for all the listeners out there, please listen to it. Mm. It's so good. Anyway, but yeah.
Awesome.
I'll put those links in there for you so everyone can check out your Facebook page and your fan fiction.
Definitely, it's not fan fiction anymore. It was, but it's not anymore.
Oh, it's not.
It's developed to something completely different, so. Yeah.
Ooh, even better.
That's cool. That's awesome.
Yes. All right.
But yeah, thank you everybody for listening to the Wizarding World Lorecast. And remember, the wand chooses the witch or wizard. Thank you for listening to the Wizarding World Lorecast. You can find us on the Robots Radio Discord at robotsradio.net. You can find us on the Ben and Friends Podcasting Discord. You can also find us on Twitter at WWLorecast and even email us at wizardingworldlorecast@gmail.com.